on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. It's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome, everybody. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name is Ara, and as you can probably hear, Alon's not here. Rich isn't here. I don't know. It's election night. John McCain's motorcading around the state. Hope they didn't get into some kind of run-in or something like that. Anyway, I'm just going to take control of the show and do whatever I want until they show up. So let's see what's going on here. Let's just talk about some news. Here's a couple of interesting items, right? So you guys all know who Gary Gygax is, yeah? Gary Gygax.
They locked us out.
They wouldn't let us in. I'm talking about Gary Gygax. Do you not have any respect at all?
I was so excited for about 3 seconds.
Like, I was. My heart was leaping such. I was hoping maybe you got run over by the McCain motorcade.
No, we're here.
Have been out there, and we couldn't get into the actual studio, so we blame that.
Yep. Well, that's such a shame. That's too bad. However did you break through?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I have so much to complain about today.
And anyway, let me just finish my little bit here.
What are you talking about, Ara?
Gary Gygax.
That sounds familiar.
Yes, of course it sounds familiar. He's the inventor of Dungeons & Dragons, you miscreant. Now, what happened to him? Well, I think he's not around.
He's dead, isn't he?
Yes,
he died a couple years ago.
So Gen Con, which is the fabulous nerd convention, which happens every year, they raised a whole bunch of money. They raised $17,000 for charity. And they said, you know, we love Gary Gygax so much that we're going to donate it to his favorite charity. And what's Gary Gygax's favorite charity? Why, it's the Christian Children's Fund.
Seriously?
A fabulous charity, I might add.
The starving kids on TV, less than a cup of coffee a day.
That's right. Maybe he was inventing Dungeons & Dragons. He felt really bad because he was up late at night and all he saw were, you know, little kids with no teeth in Africa.
He'd rather not give his money to someone that has 100% return rather than just
20%
of every dollar.
Anyway, guess what they said? Christian Children's Fund says no! We will not take your blood-tainted money.
No, because there are dragons that earned it.
Awesome.
And so they finally, apparently they released an official statement saying that, if we took the money, then that would imply that we were endorsing or supporting your gaming convention, and we're not. And then they said...
Really? Because they take money from a whole lot of people.
Well, Christian Children's Fund is very selective in its endorsements or support. In order to mean the integrity of its name and logo. And this is the best. This is my favorite line. We cannot lend our name to an event for which we have no involvement. Although, if they did, then they would have involvement. So, tautologies win once again.
They'll take money from any show who wants to call their 800 number.
Yeah. I'm going to call them next time. I see that that crazy commercial and be like, I'm really into... You know, role-playing board games.
Stuff.
No, just not even go there. Just, you know, like, I love Gary Gygax.
You should just call in, like,
I really like rolling dice and playing dragon-like games. Like, can I donate some
money? What you should do is you call in as your character and donate money. That's how you should do it. Like as your human paladin level 12, like, just tell them about all your stuff and just totally pretend, like, totally play your character trying to donate money to them, and they'd be so confused.
Call up and say, hey, I'm Count Chocula. Or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, but I think we have better things to talk about, don't we?
Dude, so much stuff.
So I finally got to play Little Big Planet. You were harping on me last week about this.
Yes.
I still haven't played it.
As I wanted to do.
Why haven't you invited me over?
Before we continue with the show, by the way, the last thing we did on last week's show was mention we were going to have a guest this week before my political tirade.
And he died, right?
Yeah. No, he didn't die.
He was... he was sacked and tied up.
Regardless of the fact that my announcement that we would have a guest today immediately preceded my political tirade, I didn't realize at the time that I booked the guy that it was actually like election day and that all this stuff was going on this week. And like, I didn't feel like preparing for having a guest on today's busy day. And so I pushed him back a couple weeks. Now we got
the week after.
Ara's pulling in a guest for next week.
Oh, cool.
Who is that going to be?
Next week's guest will be John Dean from EA Salt Lake.
Okay.
Okay. And the week after, we'll have Chad from PlaySwitch. So that's scheduled. And now I get to talk about Little Big Planet. So, I haven't really even collected my thoughts, but I want to talk about a couple things. So the game, of course, is awesome.
Of course.
So that's, but is it as awesome as you thought?
Check number one. Well, here's the thing. What I've continued to say would be awesome about this game is how it allows the creativity of anyone, basically, with a PlayStation 3 and enough money for a game, to flow and be nurtured and shared with the rest of the world. So you turn on the game, and it says, hey, we want you to download version 1.03 of this game.
So you don't have the special music.
Yeah, pretty much. But you can't go online without it.
Okay.
Right. Clearly, you can't download other people's levels, and you can't share your own if you can't get online with it. So
makes sense.
I need to download this update, and so I asked Johnny. It's his PlayStation. I was like, hey, have you downloaded the update? He's like, yeah, I tried. It won't let me. I said, okay, well, I'll try. This was several days ago.
Mm-hmm.
I try, and it failed. It gets 3% done.
Having some problems.
3% done, and then download error.
With the quotes around the problems.
Every day, I've tried to download this update. I tried right before the show today, and then I actually I went online with the PS3's browser just to make sure the network connection was working. I pull up the Chatterbox website. I pull up the Little Big Planet website. Then I see they're pulling the network down on 11.4. That's today, specifically because the European launches this week or something. So they're pulling off the servers.
Do you realize that our phones are going nuts right now? Do you have any idea?
Why?
Probably because of the time change and people are thinking we're another show.
We should take them.
We have like 8 callers.
Let's do it.
All right. And we'll get to them in the second segment after I've had time to vent a little bit. So stay on the phones. But so I want to download this update, and they won't let me, perhaps because they took the server offline. But my understanding is like you would take the server offline so you could then have that server space to send out updates to people who want to play. I mean, why take it offline completely, right? So I don't know why it's off today. It certainly was off yesterday and the day before and the day before, or not really off, just unavailable.
Just not fully functional.
To me. Yeah. And then it said I went into the game and tried to go to the online areas, and it said, you need a system update to be able to access this area.
So it doesn't
system update, that's different than a game update. It says go to settings and get a system update. So I figure maybe I need the system update before I can do the game update.
Did that work?
No. Same download error.
Nice.
So now it has nothing to do with Little Big Planet servers.
It's just
and
the
just
system.
Sony servers trying to give me a system update, and I can't do it. It won't work.
You should just reset your PS3 completely. Wipe
just format it completely?
Format it.
Then we lose all our stuff.
Do you know how long it would take to update then? Do you know how long it takes to update anything on the
PS3? I wish I just had a spare notebook hard drive laying around.
Yeah.
And then I could just pop a new one in, keep the old one.
I've got a hard drive.
A notebook hard drive?
I mean, I have... It's not a spare one, but I have one that you could experiment with because I reformat it every 2 weeks anyways.
All right.
So we could try that.
Why do you reformat every 2 weeks?
Because I usually install different operating systems every 2 weeks.
Okay, well...
You're crazy.
Dude, the Windows 7 beta came out.
Don't want to hear it.
I'm totally installing that.
All right. So this is what I'm upset about. But the game is great, right? So we've got 3 people live in my house.
So what's up with the... You have to get the pieces in the game before you can use them, right? Is that true?
Yes.
Do you have to play through the whole game before you have your entire palette?
Well, not the whole game. But
most
I mean, like, as each level presents you with new pieces.
In fact, is that the only thing you ever unlock in the game is pieces for the editor?
I mean, well, you can edit any level, even active levels you're playing. Although I don't know if you can save active levels that are pre-rendered in the game.
So you mean to say they're kind of even like power-ups in a way?
I don't know about power-ups.
No, they're not even power-ups?
I'm
trying to help you out here.
The game in and of itself is interesting to play. And then there are some times where you get things in the game in some levels that then help you do better in other.
Okay, so
levels.
That's kind of like a power-up.
There are
that's
some
valid.
Places with switch activation, right? So there might be a wooden board hanging that's in a certain shape, right? You could say a silhouette of some object. And there's a little icon signifying that you can do something with that. And so if you have the shape that matches it, you can put it on there, and then it like triggers more stuff that you can get. And the whole game is about collecting stuff. It says you've got 100% of the stuff in this level, or 96%. It's very difficult to find all the stuff, by the way.
Okay.
So you need all of the right stickers so that you can do the switch activation stuff. And you know, you might get the sticker to activate the switch in level A. The sticker would be in like level B, right?
Yeah.
So you have to play through more than once, and it's very fun. But playing by yourself isn't nearly as fun as playing with multiple people.
Classic design.
We've got Johnny in the house, and then we've got the lady
in
the house, right?
Long distance.
All three of us play together. I came home, they were playing in a level. I just pressed the on button on the controller. Boom, all three of us are playing in the level now.
Oh, that's sweet.
Which is very neat.
Okay.
So why haven't I come over and play it yet?
The 40 people online, stay online. We'll be back.
Yes.
Should we say something?
It's like we've got some electrical problems here.
We got nothing. We are back.
Oh.
And I'm actually here for the beginning of the segment.
That's fantastic.
Well, my name's Alon.
My name's Rich.
Yeah, you know my name.
And that's our Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Head over to chatterboxgameshow.com to learn more about our show. Call us, like everyone else is, at 866-536-1100. And
wait in the 40-person queue.
Yeah. Now, last week I also said I was going to replay the song that the guy made that we're giving the game for,
anything with my voice in it that you replay, I won't have a problem.
Maybe we'll do that at the end of the show. Yeah. I can just tack it onto the MP3.
I think that's fantastic.
All right. Anyway, so let's take a couple callers after I ranted a little bit about Little Big Planet not working right. Still awesome. Before we went to the break, I wanted to say it's great because all three of us can play and enjoy it, and we enjoy for different reasons. Like, Johnny never liked a platformer, never played a platformer. He's learning to love them. Me, I love it because it's like any other platformer. It's kick-ass. Well, any other good one anyway. And the lady just loves dressing it up with, you know, wedding gowns and other things.
I hope I like it. I'm just going to be really disappointed when I play it, and I'm just like, ugh. Like, I want to like it.
It's really good.
I just haven't wanted to.
Yes, you want to like everything.
Because
what
we are, you don't like having a lot of physics in games if it doesn't make the game, but in this case, it makes the game. Like, it's all about...
My arguments regarding that are rather subtle.
It's all about the physics in the game, and so you can do certain things in different ways. You don't have to do it just the specified way. And
can you change direction midair?
Yes.
I hope the computer chip who's calling us is not getting impatient.
We have a computer chip calling us?
This is read-only memory, apparently, it's called us.
Right, let's take a Rom from Canada.
Hello?
Hey, you are on the air, sir.
How's it going, guys?
Quite all right.
Are you actually a computer chip, Mr. Rom?
Possibly. I've been into beta testing, so I'm technically a machine.
Okay. So do you want to talk about Little Big Planet, or is there something else far less important?
Mostly a question to Ara, since he's been working in the game industry as well.
Why do I even do this show?
Fine. <You're right. laughs> I wash my hands of this.
You're the entertainment, come on.
Ara,
okay.
I pass the mic.
Yes, sir.
All right, Ara, since you've been in the game industry, could you tell me how actually get in and what happens from there?
Well, for the artists that don't curse...
Actually get in and what happens from there?
Well, for the artists that don't curse on a regular basis...
he's from Canada. Maybe he doesn't realize that he can't do that.
I don't know. Maybe you guys up in Canada just let him loose. You know, we're very strict over here. Anyway, I don't know. That's kind of a broad question. Do you mind narrowing that down a little bit?
Okay. How do you actually get in as a concept artist for video game industry? I mean, do you have to know every type of art form or...
No, I think that the main thing, I mean, I'm not a concept artist specifically, right? So I'm not going to be able to give you the detailed information that an actual concept artist might have. But having said that, I mean, really, it sounds pretty straightforward, but really you just have to have a portfolio that you think is awesome and representative of your work and that emphasizes quality over quantity. You know, if you have a lot of pieces, don't send a lot of pieces to a company. Send, like, you know, one or two really, really awesome pieces.
Kind of epic pieces, huh?
And it's, well, I mean, just whatever you think, you know, captures you and what your best work and talent is, right? You know, it doesn't have to, I think, necessarily fit into a certain genre, you know? I mean, like, I'm sure you can impress someone with just, you know, pen and ink work. I'm sure if, you know, if you're really good at painting, if you do, like, a really awesome matte painting or whatever, you know, that can be impressive, too. I don't think that there's a particular style you have to go through. I think that the approach is what's important.
And honestly, okay. this sort of advice, I mean, this wouldn't necessarily just apply to the video game industry. It's, we can't give you any more special advice than anyone else.
Here's,
like, in terms of developing entertainment.
Here's the secret. You need to draw good.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Well, seriously.
Yeah, you just need to draw good.
You need to know who you're trying to appeal to, right? Like, if you're talking to the Oddworld people, then fine art.
Oh, you these know, guys are maniacs.
Yeah, but they do a lot, pen and paper. And then other people just do straight up modeling. So if your style suits one particular developer's needs more, then maybe I'd start with them. But in general, I mean, just like Ara said, just create a good portfolio and hopefully well-rounded. All those, you know, buzzwords that people say to be a good, you know, entertainment developer. If you're an actor, you want to be able to act all the different ways that you can act. And if you're going to be an artist, yeah, like he said,
yep.
Draw good. Basically, don't be crappy, which I only say because if you go to school for this stuff, you're surrounded by a bunch of people who are crappy. And if you're the person who realizes that everyone else is crappy, you're probably not that way yourself. But
you kind of want to get away from that program, huh?
Well, you want to step away from the people who are not really there to produce, right? And so I don't know if you're coming to us with this question as a student yourself. When I say student, I mean like in an actual established university or something.
Well, I used to be in illustration design, but the only thing they taught us was, you know, take a picture, copy, then do it with another medium. And that's not the kind of stuff that could get me into Ubisoft and all that, all these companies.
So, I'm trying to figure out what it is you do like to do.
Oh, like, right now I'm just drawing, you know, mostly learning anatomy, trying to do figure drawing, trying to do storyboard, you know, just throwing myself in there, even comics.
All right.
But I'm more,
well,
you know, keeping the options open.
I am by no means the expert in the field. But, you know, I went to the school where people were doing modeling, and I have friends who made it in, and like you pointed out, are in the industry as well. And yeah, do work in all the different areas. Do some fine art stuff, and then convert it to models. And if your models aren't crap, then...
Well, let me ask you a really frank question. Do you think your stuff is... also, there's a really loud tapping, I think, that's coming from your side, so if there's a...
Oh, yeah, it's my USB...
Yeah, if we could stop that, that would be wonderful.
Definitely. I'll try to hold it.
So anyway, the question I wanted to ask you is, I mean, your talent right now, what you can produce right now, do you think it's good enough to get into a game development studio as a concept artist?
That's a tough one, but I'd say I'd have a fair chance. Not the best, but fair chance.
Okay, so probably, I don't really mean to be this...
He wants to say probably not.
Cutting, but it's probably going to be no then, if you're not sure.
Yeah.
And so what I would recommend at this point is, I mean, just practice the heck out of whatever you're doing. You know, just get your skills up to a point that you're very confident with them. And then at that point, you know, the two key things are, I mean, you've already got one of them, actually. There's three key things, but I'm skipping one of them because you've got it already, which is you have a very clear idea of what you want to do. And this is very, very good for applying at a video game school. Because a lot of people don't even have that. So you have that, so that's good. The second thing is you got to have a portfolio. Always have a portfolio. Always, 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 always. And three, always keep it small. You know?
All right.
You want it to encapsulate the spirit. You don't want to show them, like, I've been drawing for 15 years because they don't care and they don't have time. They're going to look at what you show them for 10 seconds, and they're going to make a decision based on that. So your work has to communicate what is incredible about you in 10 seconds or less.
Yeah, if you're looking for a rough number.
And that's all I got.
have your own portfolio and show them 1%.
Roger that, man. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Sure thing.
You know, we get that question a lot, or like some similar
every
question.
Every once in a while.
Very difficult.
I don't get tired of answering that.
We're not recruiters. I don't know. I guess that's what the show is for. We want to tell people how to get in, but I don't really know the answer.
Don't suck is really what it comes down to. Yeah.
All right.
Because sometimes, you know, they're lost.
I guess people need to hear that.
Yeah.
That's true, though. Show a lot less than you actually produce, because otherwise,
it's key. It's really key.
You want to make them think that's you produce that and you can always produce that.
That's right. That's a very common mistake people make.
And we'll get back to our other callers after this break.
Mario, you're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woo-hoo!
Welcome back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. This week, it's listener calls only, apparently.
I guess that's what we'll do. There are so many other games. You got Fallout 3, Rich.
Okay, new rule. If you're calling in, we have to talk about Fallout 3.
All right, you think Penn will be okay with that?
He better be.
All right, and then I think it would be valid to discuss the Mirror's Edge demo.
Yeah.
Which you got to play, and I watched.
It's way too short.
I have yet to actually play.
Which I've watched that for about 3 seconds, so I think I can fully comment on it.
I have concerns about it, but I don't want to say anything until I get to play.
Sweet.
It's basically just a fun concept, which will be good for that short period of time, I think. But that's all I really need. That's what I want. I want short, good experiences. So anyway, we got a couple of callers. Let's take Penn. I think he called in first this evening. Penn, you are on the air, sir.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Penn?
All right.
Well, now from now on, you must accept my calls first. Now that we have a black president, that's the new rule.
Is that the rule?
Is that the First Amendment?
And I'm very sorry, Alon, but I have a question for Ara.
Oh
no!
Unacceptable.
Right.
Why aren't you apologizing to me as well?
Because you're still playing on easy.
Okay.
Ooh. Hey, I am playing
the
Fallout 3 on hard.
Tonight.
Thank you.
All right.
What's happening, my friend?
I wanted to know how would you define catch-up AI in racing games, and do you believe it's good or bad?
You're killing me, Pan.
What do you mean, how would you define it?
I can define it.
We've discussed this maybe 10 times.
Maybe he's got a little judo, like a lingual judo coming up behind it. I don't know.
All right.
Let's find out. Let loose. So, this is basically the ability for, you know, any kind of computer opponent to basically break the rules of the game that you would otherwise have to follow and all the other vehicles would have to follow, in order to kind of like manipulate the situation, either to make them faster or to make them slower. I mean, I'm taking the more general case. Obviously, you're just talking about catch up. So basically, I mean, in short, it's just making them artificially faster beyond what the rules dictate and what you would expect.
Okay.
So
the reason I bring it up is because I've been playing Midnight Club LA.
Yeah.
And it's been a lot of fun. However, a lot of the reviews mention that the game has catch up AI. And it was confusing because I had to start questioning myself, because a lot of sort of respected outlets kept saying it has catch-up AI, and they said the series always had catch-up AI, which I thought, that's impossible, because I played 2, 3 Remix, and now this one, and I always see the computer. If the computer has a faster car than me, it beats me, and if I'm faster than the computer, I beat the computer.
Well, the funny thing about all this is that depending on the game, if the way that the developers actually implemented the AI is subtle enough, then it may or may not be impossible for you actually to notice. You know, this reminds me of just another thing really briefly, where there's one game, there's some FPS that, you know, they were touting as having this like incredible AI, right? And the people who are playing it, like their press playing advanced copy of it, and they're like, wow, the AI is doing this, and
fear?
Oh, he saw me and he turned around, not fear,
oh.
And he's doing this other thing, and they're so smart, and it was so cool, and he was reacting
scripted
to what I was doing. And I was talking to one of the developers, and he was like, yeah, you know what? They're not doing that at all. That's not happening whatsoever. And so my point is that basically the humans have a fantastic ability to project things into things that don't exist and to pretend to see that things are happening when they really aren't. So a lot of times it's actually very hard, unless you approach the problem in a very scientific way, to figure out, okay, is there actually catch-up AI or not?
Yeah, well, that's another thing. Like, I'm sure the reviewers who say it, they all had catch-up AI, they're just guessing. Right.
They are just guessing, unless, like I said, they did some kind of...
They're just not good at the game.
Very scientific
process.
Yeah,
and that's what I think it is that it's a sort of like a lot of guys in the press now think, oh, well, I know how games are made, and I know about catch-up AI, so the fact that I'm losing means the game has catch-up AI, when, in fact, like, I did a race against a car that was a tuner car, and I used a Marcielago, and I completely just left it way behind. It had no chance of winning. And then I did another race where I was the one who was way behind, and there was no way for me to catch up. And usually a Midnight Club races go for about 4 minutes, so that's plenty of time to notice if there's catch-up AI. And I started to get really upset because I know people who really feel that games with catch-up AI are just the worst thing you can ever do.
Yeah, I do think it's crap, by the way, but go ahead, continue.
Yeah, and they're telling everybody because they think they know more than the average player. They're telling everyone, oh, it has catch-up AI, so even though everyone keeps complaining about how hard it is.
I wouldn't believe it until I hear the developer actually tell me it's in there.
Yeah, and sometimes even the developer will lie unless you've had enough drink in them.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's people are going to continuously mistake the behavior of opponents or other cars in games for either doing more or less than what they're actually doing. And that's always going to happen unless you have first-hand knowledge of how it's implemented.
Well, it's kind of like the complaint that, oh, my controller was broken or whatever. Like, if you want to just blame stuff.
Well, if you have a PS3, you can blame the controller.
Yeah. That's another thing I wanted to talk about, by the way. all these little factors of the PS3 making me angry that every game that I... If a game comes out that I want to play, that it's on the PS3.
Oh,
because
my controller turned off.
We'll talk about this in a second when we're done with Penn. I want to get back to this. but I'm not going to, for a second, say that I hate the rubber banding or the catch-up AI, because, you know, it's all about the game experience.
Loathe.
And there are certain games...
Oh, let's not even get into
there are certain games where it's fine, right? Or it's there intentionally with good reason.
Yes, it's fine when you don't care about the outcome.
Well, good intentions don't mean
because
good
you're
results.
More interested in simulation games because you're a hardcore racing...
No, not to tell.
Listen, you don't think Mario... I don't even know if Mario Kart has it, but I assume it does.
In general, they have it heavily.
Well,
yeah.
Heavily.
And they
should,
because it's a game made for a different audience.
It's a game... People who enjoy that stuff, basically, in general, do not care about the outcome.
Mario Kart's
fun, though.
If
you care about the outcome, you find that type of thing to be incredibly frustrating.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm with you there, but when it's about the party experience and interacting with your friends, and then one of them gets left behind the whole time.
Well, if I'm drunk, then I think that's good. But maybe if I'm not drunk.
Good. All right. Thank you, Penn. Now I'm going to talk to Rich about the PS3.
What's up?
So I was complaining before about how stuff can't get downloaded, but then also there's the issue of the controllers going bad every 15 minutes. And I meant to ask you, how much experience do you have on different PS3s?
I've actually really only played Johnny's.
All right. So I'm thinking maybe his is just junk.
Maybe.
Right? Because I don't hear too many people complaining about the problem with the PS3 controller. You've played PS3s at work and stuff, right?
Yeah, I've always been vexed by this, you know, the 3-foot cord, and, you know, I can't use a cord if
well,
I want to.
Well, the cord is only for charging it. You could charge it off some USB ports.
Well,
the
PS3 has to be on in order to charge it.
Well, yeah, but you could also charge it from any other USB port.
Yeah, but
right.
It's just weird.
It's not like I'm
going to
bring my controller with me to my laptop and, like, charge my controller.
No, I did this weekend when I wanted to play. I plugged the USB cord into a cord near me and my computer, so I didn't have to be near the PS3. Right?
I'm just annoyed that, I mean, like, okay, my Xbox controller, oh, out of batteries? Okay, change batteries.
Yeah.
No problem. Right away. But if you lose charge, then what? You have to huddle, you know, 3 feet from your console?
Well, again, you don't have to, but my point is that the Bluetooth goes bad is it like 15 minutes, half an hour?
15, 20
how's,
minutes.
How's
20
that?
Minutes.
What, is that like a design?
No, like it consistently will go like every some amount of time. Maybe if I'm enjoying the game, maybe it's like half an hour instead of 15 minutes and it just feels like 15 minutes. I don't know. So yeah. I'm not going to give a time frame, but consistently enough that it happens more than once per sitting.
That's retarded. Right?
Yeah. Where for maybe, what do you think, 3 seconds?
No, it's like 5 to 10 seconds.
When things go wrong, it feels like forever.
It's at least 5 seconds.
I think it's more like 3.
And what, this is endemic to the whole thing?
Let's say I was pushing forward on the controller because what I was doing at the time involved me pressing forward, right?
Yeah.
The control stick was up. Then for 3 seconds, the controller doesn't respond. It's resyncing with the system, and whatever I was doing continues to be done for those 3 seconds.
No, that's utter
retardation. So if you're walking around a level or something, your guy just all of a sudden is walking to the right.
This is not acceptable.
That happens on the PS3 that I use. Consistently, like it's not random. It's every time I sit down and play for any length of time that happens.
Yeah, but like you have like millions of like microwaves going through that.
I want to talk about this again when we get back. We'll be right back. We're back, the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show, sponsored by your very favorite UAT, the University of Advancing Technology. Head over to uat.edu to learn more about what they have to offer in terms of becoming part of the industry, just like Rom was asking about.
That's right, and you don't even have to be a computer chip to go there.
That's absolutely right. So, Rich, you wanted to make a prediction before we take our last caller?
Okay. November, when's it coming out? The
19th? I'm holding you to this.
November 19th.
I'm writing it down.
The Xbox Experience update's coming out. For all of you that have an Xbox, for everybody that has an Xbox that's older than when they implemented the new chips or whatever.
Me. That's me.
Have you red ringed yet?
You might be red ringing. I'm just going to say, no. I'm putting out there that...
That's fine. I'll get a new box.
There's going to be an increase in red rings the 2 weeks following the update.
I don't know why. That's insane.
I'm just putting it out there.
My brother, actually, insane. His was broken.
It's going to happen.
Like, it just won't accept discs anymore. Like, the drive either won't open or it won't stay closed once it does open.
Yeah.
And I said, listen, just work really hard to get it to recognize a disc and then just leave it on for a while. And it will red ring and they will give you a new one. And then he's like, dude, I got Fallout 3 in there and it red ringed same day. It's like, all right then.
Yeah.
Killer. So you can go get a new system now.
I wish that could happen to mine.
All right, so we got one final caller before the end of the show. Scott?
From Canada.
Hello, guys.
This better be good.
We're an international program. I'm so glad that people are listening to the show, because you know that our time changed this week.
That's right.
Because Arizona didn't change their clocks, but everyone else did.
That's because we're maverick.
These hardcore listeners pay attention to the website, and they know that the show changed time slot.
It's because you have legions of loyal followers.
Unless Canadians didn't change their clock, and then...
their clock.
Okay, good. So you just knew. You knew that we changed.
Yes.
Sweet. All right. So what can we do for you?
Actually, I was calling about last week. Ironic, the last caller show was talking about last week's show, but anyway. You guys were mentioning about how life bars and basically abstracting data from the player, either for realism or whatever.
Yeah, like we were talking about Fight Night 3, no life bars, and Deep Space, I mentioned, had the life bar on the player's back, which doesn't make much sense to me.
Yeah, it's a suit,
yeah.
Life bar suit, come on.
The suit has energy, but he doesn't. The suit knows when it's going to die.
You got an interesting proposition for you guys. What if, for example, let's say gore was actually just another way of demonstrating to the player key information? I'll use Resident Evil 4 as an example, and then Halo after. If you shoot
just give us one example. Just one. Give us the good one.
Resident Evil 4, if you shoot a zombie in the head... Of course,
his head falls off.
Nice little fountain of gore and a little big blood spurt. And pick maybe one or two shots to do that. If you shoot the guy in the chest, however, he's just going to fall over. No blood, no gore, or anything. It actually ends up that the more gory a situation ends up being, it typically is it gets to be a better way for the player to overcome a situation. It's kind of a way of guiding people. Saying
you've completely lost me, Scott.
Are you saying that if you can play the game and realize what the gory outcomes are, that it ends up being better for you to take that route?
Generally, yes.
No, I understand. I understand. What
I think
he's
that's
saying.
Just a result of the fact that like instant death is represented
but, I mean,
by a lot of
okay,
blood.
His head fell off. He's dead. Like obviously, his arms blew off his body.
So
that's more damage being done.
Generally, it's not necessarily conscious, but another example that may help a little bit is not even necessarily with gore, but just with physical cues. For example, Halo, where the guy's shield is down. It's not really gory when you see a guy flickering, but you know that guy has a shield, so you better shoot him quickly before he recharges. It's just one of those little sense of you can get visual cues about damage impact or how much damage a guy has left. Just by visual cues in the body.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can certainly do those things, and, I mean, they will have various effects, and I'm not against using those things, but it really depends on, you know, what are you actually trying to accomplish in the game. It depends on the game. It depends on what type of game you're making. It depends on what's important to show the player. I mean, if you're just, you know, if it's just some kind of, I don't know, you have to answer the question, you know, is it important to display certain data in a very, very specific way to the player? And if your answer is yes, that does have value and importance, then these types of, you know, other ways of conveying this information are not enough to give your player, you know, I think, a complete experience in terms of, you know, building a strategy and deciding what to do, because they're very, very vague ways of conveying information. Now, in addition to doing something that's precise, you know, I think that would be really cool. But I think it just depends on what game you're making.
Well, I want to
like
point out that.
Right.
All right, Scott. So I wanted to point out that last week we were also sort of arguing whether realism, which is basically not having a HUD, if that enhances the gameplay at all. And
I think that's a misinterpretation of what realism is. Is not.
It's not about realism.
But the argument we were making. The argument we were making, unless I was lost, was that. This increasing attempt to add realism by taking away things that are slightly unreal, like a life bar, is supposed to somehow enhance the game. Really, it doesn't. That feedback is important, and it aids you in the gameplay.
If that's actually a part of the gameplay,
I don't think
that's
it's a matter of realism, though. I think it's just a matter of visual effect.
Well,
that's fine. No, that's Rich is correct.
Well, it's not what I took from it.
But it's not realism. That's not what they're trying to accomplish in a lot of those games.
You don't think so?
No. Like Gears of War, they're not trying to accomplish realism at all. They're just trying to accomplish a visual effect.
Lots of rubble.
That they don't need to have a specific health bar.
Well, the point I was going to make before getting shot down from you guys.
No, go ahead.
Is that there's a big difference between showing your own life bar, something that if you were the person in the game, you would have some sense of how much life you have left or how much energy you have left. But you still have a very difficult time of knowing what the other person has.
That is a very big difference.
Yeah, gone are the days of the life bars of the enemy when you hit the main boss and then you know how much energy he has. Like, it's pretty rare that you find that in a game.
It's interesting because the feel of a situation changes depending on what information you reveal to the player. And it just comes down to, like, what do we want to reveal to the player? In some games, you know what? Like, you actually want to show exactly, like, how much health the enemy has, and this is very useful to the player, and this is very nice. You know, other games do this thing where, like, okay, well, you have life bars, but, like, let's say, like, even Final Fantasy, right? The Final Fantasy games, super UI-heavy games. You know what? Like, how much energy does the enemy have? We don't effing know. We have no clue. I've been hitting this thing for 3 hours. Maybe it's one hit away from dying. Maybe I haven't made a chink out of just no idea.
That one bugs me because you know exactly how many health points you've managed to take off,
right.
But it gives you no reference of how many they have.
So in that situation, it's like, come on, guys. Like, why don't you, like, I don't know. Maybe the designers were thinking, like, yes, it will instill a sense of mystery and we want everyone to be confused or something like that. But
are they, like,
that accent?
Middle Eastern or European designers? Usually they're Japanese.
Actually, the guy who programmed the first Final Fantasy is Middle Eastern, so...
Okay.
Touché.
So take that.
Ooh.
Sure.
Yeah, it's true.
All right. Thank you, Scott, for calling.
Questions at you.
All right.
You know what's a really good example of a game that has health bars? Fallout 3.
Oh.
Really?
And you have health bars for, like, every limb that you have, by the way. Like,
your
head,
limbs or everyone else's?
No, your limbs. Actually, and everybody else's. But you can't see their health bars because you can get crippled limbs.
All right.
And you do see their health bars.
Another thing I wanted to say before
we
go.
Do you want to contradict yourself more?
No, you see health, like an overall health bar for the enemy.
But not the individual.
Not the individual limbs. You can only see the individual limb bars for yourself.
All right. In an equal change of topics, I want to point out to Ara, I haven't been able to confirm this for myself because I can't go online with Little Big Planet. But I noticed today on, I think on Joystick, saying that someone...
Gradius?
Yeah, someone made Gradius? The
yes,
Gradius level.
I did see the Gradius.
So doesn't stuff like that make you excited?
I'm very interested now. The guy who did that made a fantastic job of, simulating the first level. Although
pulling copyright from Konami. Maybe.
Although it's so slow.
Wouldn't you just rather play Gradius?
I'm hoping...
It's just the idea.
I would rather be able to make a shooter level that's actually fast paced and has controls.
I want to put a contest in the game. I think we should have a contest for UAT students. Get them to create levels. Do you think it'll be used in a level design class? I'm curious how many schools will take on Little Big Planet as part of a level design class, so that they won't have to use like the PC torque engine or whatever.
Just I'm gonna have to try that game. Level design concepts.
Use it as level design. And anyway, curious to see what would come of it, like the 24-hour challenge that happened a couple months ago. Do we?
Nope.
Any of us? No, I got blank stares. All right, we'll be back next week with who?
John Dean from EA Salt Lake.
And the week after that, we will have Chad from PlaySwitch. So in the meantime, feel free to check out PlaySwitch.com and tell us what you think about their scheme, and if we should pay much attention to him next week. In 2 weeks. And if you have any other questions for us, feel free to email us from the website chatterboxgameshow.com.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.